Everyone has some sort of a closet that has become too small. A closet is no place to live, and I want to support as many people as I can in stepping out of that prison into the fullness of life that is waiting for them on the other side of that door. This is Nancy Shadlock from Centered Life Coaching. Join me in listening to these coming out chronicles. Get curious about their stories. And then go see what good things are waiting for you on the other side of your closet door.
Today's guest is so, I don't know what to say, unique-wise. Just, it was really cool to hear her coming out story that started the year I was born. So I love that, for one, to hear the history of like someone who's older than me and what that was like, that coming out journey, but whose life was actually very similar to mine, and to hear now what she's up to in the world and how she's helping. And we touch on all kinds of things, from cruise ships to polyamory to really living out your calling and doing a TED talk and all kinds of fun stuff. So I think you'll really enjoy today's episode. Linda Spann, so awesome to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here and can't wait to see what unfolds.
Yeah, me too. You know, we always started off in the same way, pretty much, of tell us your coming out story. Like, what coming out story do you want to share with us today and kind of set the scene for us? What was going on?
Yeah, I would love to. I don't know if it's cheating to tell two coming out stories.
No, I love it.
I'll try to stay sort of brief. I'd love to just share with you my personal coming out story. And then also how that has kind of dovetailed with my professional life and coming out story professionally as well.
Perfect.
If that works for you. So you said to set the stage. The stage is that... I was born into a Southern Baptist missionary family. I was born overseas in South America. And the only reason I say that is because the context of being in a conservative religious home is pretty important for those of us that end up identifying as lesbian or queer. Some of the messages I heard early on, for example, I remember overhearing the adults talk about these two women that got kicked out of church because they were in a relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And things like that, that we never really talked about, but I think I integrated as shame probably, and for sure secrecy. Yeah. I went to a Southern Baptist university where, back in the 80s when I was there, kids were getting kicked off campus if same-sex couples were caught in bed together. So there was a lot of, from me, as I discovered my sophomore year of college that I was attracted to women, that was pretty fearful. So I really stayed very closeted throughout college. How did I discover that I was into women?
Yeah.
Well, I'd been hanging out with Anna, my who became my best friend. And, you know, we just kept spending more and more and more time together. And eventually we were laying in bed and our lips locked and we didn't stop. and I recall that I was so thrown by that I think within just a few days, I called the counseling center on campus and booked an appointment to talk to one of the psychologists there, who luckily was not super conservative and helped me begin to understand what was happening in my body and my attraction. And this is really a viable lifestyle choice.
Wow.
So that was good.
That's amazing in like whatever year that was in a conservative school.
Yeah. It was like in 1982, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I rolled through college really. We were very secretive, lots of fear. I had a lot of fear about my family, about college. So I was thinking earlier, what's a good metaphor? And I landed on, it's like my coming out was like going on a cruise where you stop at a bunch of different ports before the whole trip is finished versus I'm flying to one destination and I get there and then I spend the duration of my time there. So my coming out is like one of those serial cruise in terms of who I first trusted, it was my older sister, and only because she had the courage, I think, to just say, hey, what's up? Or, you know, are you gay? Are you lesbian? And so that was a tremendous gift. And Claudia's 10 years older than me.
Okay.
And I was out of college, but I think in my graduate school. So she was the first person in my family. And that gave me a measure of security to be a little bit more of myself with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you think prompted her to ask you that?
Well, I think she started noticing that I was hanging out with women and that's who I wanted to be with. And I think in her personal life, I think she grew some outside of that real conservative view and had just opened up a little bit to, you know, maybe there's more ways than this one path to be a good person and even a Christian. So it took many years. I think a sadness for me, I don't like to think of it as a regret, but a sadness is that I never came out to my mother before she died. She ended up being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she lived for many years with Alzheimer's, and her mind just got so wackadoodle that it didn't even when I was prepared to, it didn't make sense at that point. She lost the ability to really converse and understand. And so, yeah, it was a slow process for me. But an interesting thing is that when my current wife and I got together 16 years ago, I was not completely out yet, to all my family members. I was socially, I mean, I had all my lesbian friends and queer people. But for Lisa, my wife, this was her first same-sex relationship. And she had none of those fears. She like immediately talked to her kids and her ex-husband and her parents. And it was just remarkable how easy that was for her.
Did she have a religious upbringing?
Not as much, a little bit. Early in her life, Catholic, and then they converted I think they started going to Presbyterian church. So it wasn't not so much.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, I find that that's often the case. Like, it's harder to come out when you grew up like super entrenched in the church and in that way.
It was so hard for me. A year after my mom died, I had been in therapy, and I remember my therapist saying, you know, from what you're telling me, your dad's mind is starting to slip. If you're going to ever come out to him, you should probably do this soon. And that gave me the boost to just get really clear that, yeah, I need to do this. I don't want to live with the sadness again of a parent passing. And so I did. I talked to him, and he was actually very sweet and loving. And that was a tremendous relief. And that was like the final port for coming out. And that was in 2017. And that was a really important 6 months in my life and in my professional life. I had that experience. I remember also I was talking to a gal that was managing Facebook ads for me for my mostly different sex couples counseling practice. And I mentioned her that I was lesbian and I was afraid to tell her. And she was like, why aren't you doing something for your community? Why aren't you specializing in LGBTQ therapy? And a light bulb went on. And then, so that was in probably summer of 2017. Within a month or so, I came out to my father. And then in January of 2018, I had just joined this year-long, it was called Master Mentorship. It's a year-long mastermind program for couples counselors, and it's run by Ellen Bader and Pete Pearson, who are like top of the tier, you know, trainers. And I was at my first in-person retreat, happened to be 1440 in California, which is a really cool retreat center. And it was my first time to meet with this cohort of other therapists. And as I went, I just had the talk with myself. Okay, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to be out, and you know, we'll see how that goes. And my experience with that was really, really remarkable, because I had never taken that big of a leap in my professional life. And the support and love and acceptance that I got, and the encouragement, was it like provided this net under me. And that weekend is when that coming out experience is when I made the decision to start the Lesbian Couples Institute. So I came back home and I said, Lisa, we got to talk. I had this, it was almost like just this deep feeling of calling, I think, mm-hmm. That weekend. And she and I had been flirting with the idea of moving for a variety of reasons. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the doors to a counseling and coaching business just for lesbians. Mm. And she was all for it. And that was in January. And then August, we moved to Denver because we needed to be in a bigger city.
And so where were you?
Everything just, I knew that it was the right thing, because all the decisions for moving and selling houses and buying houses and or renting and offices, all of that just sort of miraculously fell into place with such ease that we both felt super confident that we've made the right decision. So that's the other coming out story. Is how that dovetailed professionally.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. I love that image of the slow ports of call, like over, what is that, 30 years kind of thing, like from 82 of learning about your dad or learning about it at college and then talking with your dad. It's like,
it's a long incredible. Time. I encourage people not to go that long route because there's a lot of time that feels there's sadness with it, that boy, I could have been living in my alignment, my truth sooner if I would have had the courage. And I also have to accept that it is what it is and move forward from this point.
Yeah. And then I love that it propelled you forward in your career. Like that's a lot of what I face up against too with my clients, is as they come out, they realize, oh, there's like more of me I want to share with the world. And mm-hmm. I was holding back this part of me because I was scared in the closet. But now that I'm out, like there's all this more that I could offer the world. And so yeah. I really see that in you. And
yeah.
So awesome.
It's exciting. I feel just, I don't know. I enjoy my work. It's a privilege, and I'm excited to offer something to my people, right? That mm-hmm. Is hard to find. It's hard to find. I hear all the time from clients, wow, we've tried therapy before. It wasn't the right fit. We feel so much more comfortable being with a lesbian. I had a couple that flew from Boston to Denver to work with me for a 2-day intensive just last week. And, you know, that again, that same feeling of why is it so hard to find lesbian relationship experts? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because so many of us have the fear of being that out. What if it ruins our career? What if straight people don't want to work with us? What if different sex mm-hmm. couples, you know, not all those types that happen in our heads.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the gifts of, you know, being able to work with a therapist? Like I know for myself, I've sought out therapists that are gay because it feels like there's that deep knowing and I don't have to explain everything right. to them.
Yeah. The trust is, I wouldn't say instantaneous, but it builds much more quickly if you know that the person that you're sitting with has a similar life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with, I mean, certain topics are pretty private. It's much easier to talk about, you know, a sex life issue with someone that, you know, really understands than with mm-hmm. a heteronormative person that may not.
Yeah.
It's just less, I don't know, embarrassing or challenging.
Mm-hmm. Less explaining is big key. Just yes. to get it right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's less of a learning curve. It shortens the time mm-hmm. of explanation.
Yeah. For sure. So tell me more about like your big vision for the Institute and like the growth trajectory. I love what you're up to there.
Yeah. So right now the part that's growing is an online group coaching for lesbian couples. And it's rolling, but growing. And this is a program that so far has proven to be really, really effective to help lesbian couples really deepen their relationship, get to a place where they can communicate well and have a lot of closeness and that balance between we're solid as a couple and we have the, you know, that freedom to be ourselves and to mm-hmm. be differentiated and strong as and growing individuals as well as a solid team, which I think lesbians struggle with sometimes mm-hmm. is that you know we merge very quickly, we do intimacy really, really well, and then the challenge comes when we recognize, oh yeah, we're different people and we don't always see eye to eye, and so how are we going to navigate that?
Yeah,
anyway, that's an exciting piece, and it's on the very beginning, so it hasn't grown into its potential, but I'm really thrilled with how it's going. I think the next thing is going to actually be to offer like either a 6-month or a year-long place for lesbian couples that really want to keep working on their relationships and on self-growth to have a container to work with. Myself, my wife happens to be a therapist too, so we co-facilitate the coaching program. So we're thinking about a year-long program for couples that really want to keep working on their relationship, and that would include some retreats. Mm-hmm. We've had for years, we've said we should take a bunch of lesbians overseas and do a really cool retreat with them. I know that's not a new idea, but that may be something that we do once the world gets back to comfortable travel. Mm-hmm. A growing edge for me is getting comfortable. Like, I don't know, the image of doing a TED talk just freaks me out, but something along the lines of public speaking, that's the next coming out destination.
Yeah.
Just getting comfortable with that.
What would your talk be?
I don't even know. One thing I'm playing around with is what different sex couples can learn from lesbian couples. Mm. Because I think we do some things really, really, really very well. I'm going to write a blog one of these days.
I know. I was like, why don't you just give us the Cole's notes right now? And then you'll have your talking points for your TED talk.
Well, so the thing is, I mean, you get two women, two females that have the same brain types and body configuration and socialization. And, you know, women are socialized to be the caretakers of relationship, of emotions. And, you know, think about how little girls play and how they're encouraged to play versus how little boys. And so you get two women in a relationship that are both attuned to each other emotionally and understand that nurturing that part of life is super important. And so that's why the intimacy, I think, is grows so quickly and deeply for women in same-sex relationships. And so I think other different sex couples can learn up from that. The other thing is that, I mean, this is sort of it may sound trite, but you'd be surprised how many couples get into trouble over division of labor at home. And most of my career has been working with straight people and different sex couples. And there's a lot of power struggle that happens in those relationships. And I want to just say, you know, lesbian couples, they divide the unpaid labor based on what do they like to do? What are they good at? What are their strengths? And then if those boxes can't be checked, then they negotiate, they talk about it. Versus, this is women's work, this is men's work. Mm-hmm. So that's another example of what we bring to the table, is that we're better at making decisions about how we spend our time doing chores and household things, and even childcare. The literature shows that when there's same-sex parents, children end up with more parent time than when there's different sex parents, because men don't spend as much time. So men in different sex relationships don't tend to spend as much time with children,
right?
Their children. So those are some of the examples.
Mm-hmm. I really can see what you're saying about that, like two women coming together and both being focused on the other and like wanting to nurture and mm-hmm. have deep relationship. And there's a pitfall to that too, right? Like, what would you counsel people about that?
Yeah, one pitfall about that in particular is that it can be exhausting. I mean, we can get so hyper-focused on talking about things and that energetically it can be pretty draining. Another, I think, challenge for women in same-sex relationships is what I call and others have called merging, so that first stage of a relationship tends to linger longer, where we end up also we're socialized to be people pleasers and to get along with everybody, and so there can be more of an avoidance of, I think it's an avoidance of conflict, like let's not fight, I want to keep the peace. And that's detrimental to relationships if both people don't speak up and really share with courage what's up, what they think, what they want, what they feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's challenging sometimes for women. Mm-hmm. So when there's two of them doing that, then that can really lead to a relationship that goes stagnant pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever deal with couples that are in polyamorous relationships?
I haven't done a lot of that in my practice yet. My partner, my wife, as I said, is a therapist. She's actually had more experience with that. And it's fascinating and tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really looking at like attachment through that lens too, of different dynamics and things too. Uh-huh. Can be really interesting.
Yeah, one of my peers in that master mentorship that I mentioned just wrote a book on polyamory, and I've learned a lot from Martha about that, and I'm eager to get more experience working with polyamorous mm-hmm. relationships.
Yeah. In your model, it's not like it doesn't go against your way of helping couples.
No, I don't think so. I think the big key there is to get a lot of clarity about what is it that we want. First of all, in our relationship, the two, I don't know what the term is, the primary couple, get really clear about what is it that we want in our relationship? What's our North Star? What are our values? And then to come up with agreements that both people 100% feel okay about. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of work. And if that can be done, then I think it can be negotiated and people can have healthy primary relationships. And it hinges on the agreements and keeping them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've touched a little bit on some of your next coming out chapters. If you like really touch into what is it that scares you about this next chapter? Like what feels like it's on the brink of coming out for you? How would you flesh that out?
Yeah, I think I've taken an enormous step by being so out online and, you know, mm-hmm. all kinds of social media and YouTube and all of that. I get that fear in my chest when I think about being on a stage and speaking as an open out lesbian and expert. And the other thing is I'm toying with, is it time to write a book? And that I feel fear around that too. And I think some of that is wrapped into this coming out process as well.
Is it fear around being really seen, really visible? What's the fear?
I don't think I'm as afraid of that. I have anxiety around, am I going to do it right? You know, is it the whole bucket of, is it good enough? I'm not aware of feeling afraid of being more out at this point. Maybe some pressure of if I'm going to be out and sort of a little bit of an ambassador for my, you know, my people, I want to do it right. I want to do it well.
What if there's no right way?
Yeah. That would be a relief. So how do I get that in my head, Nancy?
Yeah. There's no right. There's no wrong way. It's like you just get to do it your way. And that will be what it will be.
Yeah. Thank you. That I'm gonna take that in. I'm gonna write that down on a sticky note and put it on my mirror. There's no right way. There's no wrong way.
Yeah. It really is freeing, I think, like for all things, mm-hmm. when we can really sink into that, like it's, I hear you, because I definitely have the same struggle sometimes of, oh, I want to do this right, or I don't want to do it because I might do it wrong. And it's like, there's no wrong way. And like, just do it. And whatever happens is the right thing to happen.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm just sitting here thinking that goes back to those super religious roots too, right? There is a right way, there is a wrong way, and there's huge punishment if you do the wrong way.
Totally.
I hadn't thought of that. So thank you. That brings me some insight.
Yeah. Yeah. We have very similar upbringings of missionary parents, and it takes a lot to unlearn all of those very strict ways of being.
Yeah. So someone once used the term developmental trauma associated with that. And yeah, I never thought of it that way. I don't think of it as traumatic, but there's something that it just messes with the mind.
Yeah, it does. Well, good for you for like actively unlearning and relearning and helping others in their journey of that too.
Yeah, I'm proud of the steps I've been able to take and how it can benefit other people. And I'm excited about the work I'm doing and proud of it. And mostly just happy to see that it's helping other people.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we will link to all of your work in the show notes, and just tell us the name of your institute one more time so people know that to look it up.
Yeah, so it's the Lesbian Couples Institute, and the website is lesbiancouplesinstitute.com. And awesome. Be happy to hear from anybody that resonates. And
cool. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you for doing this. It's such a gift to our community. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
This episode was brought to you by Centered Life Coaching. And I've got a special new offering I'm excited to share with you.
Does life feel a little bit crazy right now? There's a lot of hustle and bustle. There's a lot of noise. It's hard to hear yourself. I got you. Join me on the front porch, away from the hustle of life. Sit down. Take a breath. Share what's on your mind and heart. This is where you'll discover your true self. Come and hear yourself into being. You'll be astounded at what you notice. There's a link for the front porch sessions in the show notes, or you can sign up at centered.ca. I'm waiting on the front porch for you. Are you coming?
Thanks for listening to the Coming Out Chronicles. If you enjoyed it and you think it would be helpful for someone else, please share it with them. If you'd like to connect with me, reach out on social. I'd love to support you in the next chapter of your coming out story. I can help you know yourself, free yourself, and be yourself. Until next time, this is Nancy Shadlock from Centered Life Coaching.